Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
That you can safely watch the evolution from, should you choose to. I also need you to stay out of the pilot house and aft of the port and starboard bridge wings. But feel free to come up to the O4. You can hang out behind the bridge wing there, look while we get underway, you can hear the commands, or you can hang out right here and watch. But while we're underway, see all these black lines that kind of go around the boat valley here, and you see them up topside, both aft on the flight deck and up on the O4. Be mindful of them when you're taking your photos and selfies. The last thing I want is for you to fall overboard. That's a real risk while we're underway. Lookouts will be manned at night when it gets dark. This is the only area that you're allowed topside. So I know you've already covered it in your safety briefs. You'll probably talk about it more. But now that we're getting ready to get underway, I want to make it so that everyone knows, okay? Booyah. All right, have some fun.
So that was the executive officer, or XO, Commander BJ Carlo, yesterday in the Steel Beach area of LPD 29, USS McCool. That's in the middle of the ship, and that's where they had the barbecue and the party and the line dancing and the welcome. And, MWR, Morale, Welfare, and Recreation was having a good time yesterday, making sure that everybody else had a good time. That is literally their job, and we certainly did as well. This is, honest to goodness, an incredible, maybe once in a lifetime, and certainly first for us, and maybe first for any radio show. We are doing the ship broadcast live from the USS McCool. So you're listening to me in Pensacola, and we are riding on the ship with my back to the bridge on the fourth upper deck. If I walk out the two steel doors, I am outside looking at the landscape and watching them survey to make sure that they don't have any suspicious things coming anywhere near the ship. And it just turned dawn outside, which produced some really cool photos. I'll publish those here in just a minute. But the miracle of modern technology and the internet has made this possible. I still can't believe it, that we are on the ship broadcasting to you live. And, one of the things you heard him talk about, and that was a long process. My goodness. I mean, it took 25 minutes from start to finish, and it's all kinds of safety procedures and break on, break off, move the, take out the chop of the locking mechanism that keep the chain in place. Everybody's got really, really heavy emphasis on safety because the amount of pressure that the anchor puts on the chain and, what it can do if something goes wrong. I mean, it's danger everywhere. Like, we were not allowed to be down there, as you heard him saying, but we were watching from the second or the third front deck from right in front of the bridge, basically. One of the other things they mentioned is kind of the safety areas, the black lines around the edge of the ship. They did let the flight deck on the back be open at night because that's where we were having the night party with, showing the movie, Top Gun, getting everybody's electronics checked out because you can't plug into the ship unless they certify that you're not going to short out the electrical system. So all these civilians on board with their laptops and their cell phones and their tablets just wanting to make sure that nobody causes a problem. But it was really cool being out in the flight deck at night with the green lights and just a picture of it that I had not seen. One of the other things you see on the ground sometimes is a red line. And the red lines are, danger areas. The only couple that I have really seen so far have to do with the weapon systems. Up in the front, you've got the 30-millimeter cannon, and you've got the modified Sidewinder missiles that are used for air attacks, or possibly some seaborne attacks. Anyway, but right around those, there's a big red perimeter that, don't stand here. In fact, there's actually a sign behind the missile system that says, caution. Missile blast might get you here. So, hey, look, it's a warship. You've got to always have those safety alerts so that you don't get yourself in trouble. 6:14 here on News Radio, 6:15 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay with my boss, and the radio station owner, Dave Hoxing, is here with me early on a Friday morning as we're broadcasting from the USS McCool. Going to arrive later this morning in Pensacola. John Pickens is back at home studios in Pensacola with Traffic on the Fives.
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. No accidents to report to you right now. Just seeing some minor delays on I-10 near Avalon Boulevard getting onto I-10. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Piggins with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. One of the things I was also going to let you know about, yesterday I was talking about the weapon systems, and I've tried to interview as many of the sailors as we can because I think telling their story is really, it's interesting to me, and I hope it's interesting to you. But I did manage to catch up yesterday. One of the people who was helping us find our way towards one of the locations yesterday was CTT Williams, who actually runs the missile defense system in the Combat Information Center, the CIC, where you do not get to go, where we do not get to go, where we were only allowed to go on our ship tour when everything was turned off and we had our cell phones outside. So that is a, no pictures in here kind of place.
We're here with, say your position and your name again.
I'm CTT 3 Williams.
And what does that mean, CTT?
So Cryptologic Technician Technical, and we do anti-ship missile defense and we do threat recognition. So what we collect are different emitters from the radars on ships nearby, and we can help identify based on the parameters from those ships.
So when you're sitting in your chair, you're watching the entire radar landscape to make sure that there's no threats coming too close to the ship.
Correct.
And if they do, it was my understanding that the 30 millimeter is the primary surface base and the missiles are primary air defense, is that right?
Correct. So we have the 30 mil and then we have RAM, so that's usually used for anti-ship missile defense as well, but it's...
What is RAM?
So it's rolling airframe missiles. So
okay.
We have launchers, and those are usually the FC jobs, fire control, and they're the hard kill, and we have soft kill option. So what ours is NOLCA, and it basically tricks the missile into thinking that there's a bigger target somewhere else, and it goes there.
Okay, so it one way is, are you designed to take out inbound missiles, or are you designed to confuse them, or both?
So yes, we are designed to basically divert the missiles elsewhere, and the FCs are the ones that do the hard kill, so actually taking it out.
Okay. How long would a shift be for you when you're sitting there? Is it?
So it really depends on how many people you have, but right now we're doing 3-hour watches, so we have 2 3-hour watches a day. Depending on how many, sometimes it's 12 hours a day. It just depends on how the manning is.
It seems like most of your life would be spent not doing anything because, there really aren't going to be very frequent real threats, but
yes. At
every moment you've got to be aware of the possibility that next second could be the threat. How do you keep crisp in an environment like that?
So we still help out when we're not in a threat area because we can still help identify just based off the basic emitters that they have, just even if it's not threatening towards us. So we can help identify basic comnavs, just literally merchant ships we can help identify. And then we can also still run scenarios. So we have a thing on our console where we can build them and then run them like we are in that kind of environment.
So you can do simulations when there's downtime.
Yes.
As a way of keeping you not just practiced, but also not distracted by the boredom of really not having anything to do.
Yes, correct.
Very good. Well, thank you for the time.
Thank you.
Where did you go to school?
For A school, we were in Pensacola, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're going back to, Corey Station.
Okay, very good. For A school in CTT on Corey?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Very good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
No problem.
So that's just another example of, we're doing this series on Meet Your Tenant Commands, and we're going to have another tenant command on later on this morning at 7:35. But there are so many ways in which what happens on our base at NAS Pensacola or on Corey Station, which is a subsidiary of NAS Pensacola, or at Whiting Field, or any of the other military bases that are close in, like Hurlburt or Eglin, that affects military operations. I mean, here you have somebody who, she works on the missile defense system for the ship. She got her training at NAS Pensacola, right? That to me is amazing to think about all the different ways in which our town touches military operations. All of these different varieties. And by the way, just to make sure I'm not misunderstood, I wasn't trying to imply that there's nothing for them to do. I think the challenge, there's always something to do, but the challenge is just standing a sentry post or being a police officer on the beat is that, nothing, pay attention right now, big things are happening. I mean, I just think that is a very challenging mental environment to operate in. And great job of it. 619 here on News Radio 92.3. If you have questions, text them to me at 437-1620. We do have Starlink satellite. We are connected by the internet. We are on board the USS McCool, literally underway on a ship in the Gulf doing a live radio show in the morning in Pensacola. Unbelievable. I'm Andrew McKay.
So I always say that Frontier Motors has been serving the Pensacola community, and if you didn't know me, you might think I just use words lightly, but I really don't. I mean, as a philosopher, I use words very deliberately and mean the words that I use. And so when I say they serve, I mean that. For example, if you go to Frontier, when you look at a car, you're going to get a price sheet and you're going to get a Carfax. And a Carfax is a great resource. It's not the end-all, be-all of everything about the maintenance and service history for the car, because it kind of depends on voluntary reporting. That's why I recommend you get a good used vehicle inspection from a mechanic you trust. But you get it from Frontier, but if you don't go to Frontier, like you go to, you know, Jim Bob's corner lot somewhere, and you're going to buy a car, and they don't give you a Carfax, or like off of, you know, Facebook Marketplace or something, no problem. Take the VIN, give it to Frontier. Frontier will run a Carfax for you for free. Why? Because they can. Because it helps. Because it's nice. Because it's being a good neighbor. Because why not? And so when I say that they have been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, I mean that.
The recent global outage had many businesses scrambling to recover. I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. The single program made millions of business and government systems inoperable. As an owner, you and your IT team should have a plan in place for when trouble strikes. Businesses on the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world, but what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel this Monday at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. This Monday at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Summer season is here, and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Barnes Feed Store, Pensacola Hardware, and Blue Sky Landscaping.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Just one mistake is all it will take. We'll go down in history. Remember me for century.
Good morning, 6:23 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and yes, indeed, miracles do come true. And with the help of the crew here on the USS McCool, lots of help from the crew on the USS McCool, and my boss Dave Hoxing, unwilling to quit on this idea he had that we would be able to do a broadcast live from the ship. We are doing a broadcast live from the ship. I still really can't believe it. It's amazing. We are on board the USS McCool, LPD, Amphibious Landing Dock 29, heading over to Pensacola for the commissioning a week from this Saturday. It was built in Pascagoula, then it transited over to Panama City for basically access and to get it away from Mississippi and start doing some of their trials that they have now completed. And like I said, back to Pensacola today for the commissioning a week from Saturday. And man, you cannot miss this ship out on the horizon, that is for sure. When it is in range, you will know it. In fact, yesterday was kind of funny. We were heading out of Panama City, where we're at the Naval Air Facility, Panama City, and that's not quite the right name. It's not NAF. It's Naval Service Facility, Panama City. And we were on a trend, like a commuter ship, okay? I mean, you know, 65-foot boat. And we're heading out the pass, and we're all like, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? And we see a thing in the distance, like, is that it? Is that it? 5 minutes later, we're like, oh, that was not it. That's it. Like, you cannot be wrong when you see it. It's kind of the old thing, like, if you're unsure, that means it's not it yet. When you see it, you will absolutely know what you are seeing, and it's going to be a great opportunity to see it at the Port of Pensacola, you know, when it gets docked there later on today. People keep asking me, you know, where are you? What time is it arriving? I don't know the answer to these questions, but even if I did know, the Navy is pretty cautious about disclosing operational information about a ship underway for what you can imagine are obvious reasons. So I do not know, but even if I knew, I would not tell you. 625 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now, but we are seeing some delays if you are over in Milton. From Milton, downtown Milton, heading to East Milton, you're going to see just a five-minute delay there. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. And just like a small example of how the crew here has been fantastic, and actually, you know, the other people from the military that are here helping with the event from the Naval Education Training Command, we've got one of their public affairs staff here with me, Mason Hassong, and, you know, he just brought us breakfast from the mess downstairs because the mess is open 5:30 to 7:30, but of course we're going to be on the air the whole time, and by the time I would get disconnected, go down the ladders, four ladders across the way to the mess, and get back up. I mean, there's no way to do it. So they're literally delivering me food to the bridge. It's an amazing experience. David Wayne is in the newsroom back in Pensacola with our headlines. David?
Yeah, the Secret Service is getting some assistance in providing security for presidential campaigns. The Department of Defense said in a news release yesterday that it will be providing increased support at various locations across the U.S., this comes after a request by the Department of Homeland Security. A Dallas police officer has died. Two others were wounded after a shooting on Thursday. It's not exactly clear what led to the shots fired call, but authorities who responded to an officer in distress call found the officer shot in his patrol vehicle there. They do say they've located a suspect who had fled the scene but was eventually killed in an exchange of gunfire. And TSA expecting a busy weekend for Labor Day. They're expecting to check a record-breaking 17 million travelers in airports across the country. They say some of the top travel destinations include San Francisco, New York, Boston, Denver, and Chicago. Domestic travel, they say, up 9% from last year. But international travel was actually down 4%.
Interesting, David. Thank you so much for the update. 627 here on News Radio 92.3. There's all kinds of like little things that you learn in being on a ship. And one that I did not know what to expect is how much motion would there be on the ship? You know, because I mean, I've been on small ships and small boats and, you know, been on a cruise ship. And it's very different, the feel. One thing is when they were at anchor in Panama, you know, off the coast of Panama City, no motion at all. I mean, we might as well have been on land. It was rock stationary in the water. Now, it wasn't that much sea state. It was like maybe 3 foot chop or something like that. But, I mean, it didn't move at all. As soon as they got the anchor pulled in and then we were underway, you could immediately feel a little bit of motion. And right now, as I'm sitting here inside right behind the bridge, I feel just a little bit of motion. But, you know, and the seas are relatively calm. But compared to being on a cruise, you know, when it's kind of always moving and you always have that rocking motion and, you know, not everybody loves that, it's very sturdy. It's very stable. At least that's been my experience. Obviously, ship design, the shape of the width of the boat, the beam, how the keel is designed, all of those things can affect it. But in this particular case, I'm just telling you, it's a very stable one. One of the other things I learned, and I'll probably have to talk about this more throughout the show, is the doors. You don't get anywhere fast on a ship, and here's why. There are all kinds of the doors mostly are locked. Okay, the portals are locked, or they're secured shut. Is not maybe the best way to say it. And in order to open it, it's a two-piece system. There's a series of metal interconnected pieces that go all around the frame of the door, and it locks it in place against, you know, any kind of problem that you would have. And you have one big metal bar that you pull up on. It's actually quite difficult to do. And then there's a second metal bar that releases a latch. And so each door has this kind of attachment system. Some of the doors are single doors. So you big bar, little bar, and just go through. Push it open and then go through. You always have to secure it behind you. Everything gets secured behind you. Some of the doors are double doors. And when they're double doors, you have to go inside, secure, open the second one. So you can never have both of them open at the same time. Sometimes it has to do with pressurization. Sometimes it has to do with wind flow through the ship. But I have been warned many, many times in stern tones that you got to have the second door closed when you open the first door. Otherwise, one of the doors can fly open, knock you out, break a hand, do all kinds of bad things. So you never get anywhere fast as you're going through the various door systems.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster.
One of my highest priorities is to do what we can to support and strengthen the middle class.
Vice President Kamala Harris gives the first interview of her presidential campaign on CNN, talking about President Biden ending his campaign.
I asked him, are you sure? And he said yes. And then that's how I learned about it.
She says it would benefit the American public to put a Republican in her cabinet if elected. Former President Trump says if he's elected, fertility treatments will be paid for.
Your government will pay for, or your insurance company will be mandated to pay for, all costs associated with IVF treatment, fertilization for women.
Trump there in Potterville, Michigan. He campaigns in Pennsylvania and Washington, D.C. today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 76 degrees right now, mostly clear skies. Beautiful morning here in Pensacola. The former Okaloosa County Deputy Eddie Duran now released from jail as he awaits his trial for manslaughter. He was in court yesterday after he was released on $100,000 bond. Duran turned himself in Monday after being charged with manslaughter last week. He's charged in the on-duty shooting 3 months ago in Fort Walton Beach that killed Air Force senior airman Roger Fortson. Book publishers, parents, and authors joining forces to sue the state. A lawsuit filed yesterday challenging HB 1069 that passed last year, the law meant to stop school libraries from carrying books with sexual or pornographic content. Publishers like HarperCollins and Simon & Schuster say that the law unfairly targets their books and claims that it ignores books' literary, artistic, political, or educational value. Authors in the suit say it causes personal and professional harm, but a spokesperson for the Department of Education says that the lawsuit is a stunt and says sexually explicit material and instruction are not suitable for schools. Well, we learned earlier this week about damage to Pensacola's homage to 9/11 monument at the MLK Junior Plaza downtown. City leaders say they've known about the damage for several months now. A citizen reportedly found the damaged pieces, notified the city earlier this spring. The artist has been contacted about making repairs, but he's currently out of the country.
Our understanding is he's in Costa Rica, and he's in a very remote area of Costa Rica, so, which is kind of a difficulty of reaching him. But our understanding is sometime this fall, he's planning on coming back to Pensacola, and we'll go ahead and reattach and make his sculpture whole once again for us.
Pensacola spokesman Jason Wheeler, the city says they don't exactly know how that monument was damaged. It could have been vandalism, weather, even just issues with the adhesive used. But the city says the important thing is the pieces are secured and the repairs are expected. Again, that'll be sometime this fall. A man hurt after being shot by a sheriff's deputy in Pasco County. That happened in Newport Richey and the area around Catherine Drive and Widgeon Way. The sheriff's office there says deputies were trying to serve a warrant, but he tried to hit a deputy with a car, and the deputy then shot him. It's been a year now since Hurricane Idalia made landfall in the Big Bend area as a Cat 3 storm.
This was one of the first major impacts to that portion of Florida where all of the modern tools, including the storm surge inundation mapping, was available.
National Weather Service meteorologist Robert Garcia there. He says the map helps local officials better understand what areas need to be evacuated. Idalia packed an $843 million punch when it came to federal grants, flood insurance settlements, and low-interest disaster loans. And it is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. John Pickens, what are you seeing this morning?
Well, no accidents to let you know about. Traffic is flowing smoothly. I-10, I-110 looking good. just seeing some minor delays if you're in Milton on Highway 90 from Avalon heading up to Stewart Street. Just minor delays with the lights there. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And thank you very much, John. Now a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We do have a chance of rain as we go through the afternoon and morning hours. 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. High today near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Saturday, another 40% chance of rain. High near 90. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Keeping our rain chances around through Sunday with a 50% chance of rain. High near 90 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It is 77 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies in Pensacola, 77 in Gulf Breeze, 76 in Milton. And taking a look at our market report this morning.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Intel is working with its bankers to come up with a variety of options to help fix its flagging businesses. The company has been hampered by longtime problems and more recent missteps, and announced earlier this year it would lay off thousands of employees. CEO Pat Gelsinger has laid out plans to mount an ambitious turnaround at the chipmaker, which has largely been left out of the artificial intelligence boom. Zeekr will launch its first mid-size electric SUV, the Zeekr 7X, in China on September 20th, starting at just below $34,000 to compete with Tesla's Model Y. The Zeekr 7X offers two battery options, with deliveries beginning in China by the end of September and global markets within a year. The launch comes amid intense price competition in China's electric vehicle market, with other brands such as XPeng and NIO introducing lower-cost models. Futures are moderately higher ahead of key inflation data later this morning. That's your Money Now.
6:36, our next news at 7, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
News Radio Pensacola is the best place to reach informative, local, and dependable listeners. But did you know you can reach sports fanatics on one of our family of radio stations, ESPN Pensacola? It's our area's top place to reach sports fans.
Hi, my name is Camille Hoskins, sales consultant with Marine Max. To reach area sports enthusiasts, I recommend advertising with ESPN Radio 99.1 FM and 1330 AM.
To have your business reach sports fans today, call 850-262-6000.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls trip moments. Your can't miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Radio 92.3, informative, local, a C. We are on board the USS McCool LPD-29, an amphibious landing dock. It's just amazing. I still can't believe that we are on the ship, broadcasting to you live via the miracle of modern technology. The crew has been fantastic. We just had, you know, Dawn is here. We got somebody sent in a photo of NAS Pensacola with a rainbow over it, like it's welcoming the ship. Posted that on our News Radio Facebook page. Pretty cool. Yesterday, had a chance to talk to the officer in charge, Lieutenant Commander Mark Benke. He has been one of our great sources of information about where the ship is at, what it's doing, and what you can learn from it.
So we're here with the operations officer, Mark Benke, who is from Milton. Actually, when we last talked to him, we learned that his parents own the RV park on Avalon, and he is a rock star here on the boat. He knows everything. So, Mark, let's start with this. What's it like having so many strangers on board the ship that you just recently got escaped from Mississippian?
It's actually a lot of fun to have people on board. We have some of the best and brightest young men and women in the entire nation on board this ship. And it's fantastic to watch them take pride and show off what they want to do and what they do every day, day in and day out, to visitors that get to come on board, because most people don't get to see that side of the Navy.
Yeah, my favorite thing so far, honestly, has been just talking to all of them and getting to know them. And, you know, such a range of people, such a range of talents. And, you know, they come from all over the country. And, you know, some were not even born in America, but they, you know, they joined the Navy because they liked the benefits that it gave, and they've had a career at it. It's fantastic. So for an operations officer, what has it meant for the last couple of weeks as you did finally get out of Mississippi, which I know the captain was emphatic about enjoying that, and then getting here towards commissioning? What have you all been doing at sea for the last couple of weeks?
So the last couple of weeks has included a host of what we'll call sea trials. So we have gone out, we've tested our anchors, we've tested our ballasting systems, we've tested our gun weapon systems, our radars, any and every kind of part on board that requires a major evolution. We've gone out and we've tested it. We put the ship through our paces and we've identified any weaknesses, or we've identified our strengths, and we've figured out how to operate. About 70% of this crew has never been to sea before.
Wow.
Period. We have a lot of...
As in they're so new in the Navy, or they just have been in but haven't been deployed on a boat?
Deployed on a boat, right? So a lot of them are brand new, but they're all eager. So we have learned, and we've done plenty of practice prior to leaving the pier, so we know we're going to be safe. Our ISIC actually comes out with us. Our immediate superior in charge came out with us. Made sure that we were safe getting underway. Evaluated us as great, and we did very well. And we're safely operating out of sea and enjoying it.
And let's see, full is about 350, if I remember correctly. How many are you up to now?
So full can be anywhere from 350 to 400.
Okay.
We're somewhere in the range physically on board of about 300 to 350. Based on manning numbers in the Navy right now and kind of where we're at in our stage of the life cycle.
But we don't have the hovercraft, right? That was supposed to be coming from Panama City, but they're not. Is that right?
Yes, we did not pick up the landing craft air cushion.
LCAC.
Yep, that we would have been taking. But there will be a flyby of one at commissioning.
Oh.
So you have that to look forward to.
Outstanding. And you're still waiting also to get your helicopters. You're going to get, what, a 64 and an Osprey? Is that what the standard is going to be, or do you know yet?
We will not have any Marine aircraft that will embark us for commissioning. There will be a training helicopter as of right now that will be a static display on the pier.
Oh, nice.
So, we are also looking at having a flyover of some of the training aircraft from the student pilots there at Pensacola.
And then after commissioning, what happens?
After commissioning, we will continue down and around. Our ultimate home port is Norfolk, Virginia. We have probably a good month in between here and there where we have to go do more testing. We'll make a couple other port visits and put the ship through our paces, conduct necessary tests that we need to do. Like I said, we are the world's most advanced amphibious warship. Part of that is due to the SPY-6 Victor II radar, or ESIR as they will call it. and we are the first ship with it in the world, right? So testing that and seeing the capabilities is amazing. But as with anything new, you want to make sure you fully go.
And I thought I heard you mention that you had done weapon system testing already, but it was my understanding that you get armed after you get to Norfolk. Is that, am I thinking about that the right way? You're going to pick up your missiles in 30 millimeters later on, or how does that work exactly?
So when I say we tested weapon systems, we can do tests on weapon systems without live ammunition on board.
Okay.
And that's a test of our combat system suite and how the weapon system engages with it.
The place we're not allowed to go, because everything in there is well beyond my level of access, right? Except when the screens are all turned off.
Yeah. We can get you in there, but we'll sanitize it at some points here. But we did do a gun weapon system test.
Okay.
On our Mark 46. So that's our 30 millimeter gun. So we have forward and aft. And they perform flawlessly. So
one thing I was kind of curious, I was talking with the guy who's been overseeing the progress of the shipbuilding from the Navy, and I didn't know what I expected, but the getting into the water and out of the water with the well deck is not a really fast process, because that's a lot of water to move around and a big boat butt to move around, right? I mean, this is a pretty, I don't know, I was thinking it would take maybe 10 minutes, but it's more like close to an hour to get down and then maybe 3 to 4 hours to get out, right?
Yes, it takes a decent amount of time to go to our full capability, which is a little bit beyond 8 feet in the well, at the sill, which is at the back of our well deck. But we only utilize that for LCU, or landing craft utility. What I'll say is this class traditionally does not deploy with them.
Because
we can only take one of them.
Okay.
Whereas we can take two LCACs.
And you don't need to go to 8 feet for the LCACs?
No, we do not. 0 to 6 inches at the sill.
Because it's hovercraft.
Yep.
Need
like a little bit of water, if any at all. And we can do that within 10, 15 minutes super quick.
Okay. Yep. So that would be, if you're having to get to a beach and you've got all the Marines on board, you can basically drop six inches, deploy the hovercraft, and they can shuttle back and forth to the beach and bring multiple trips, right, and serve as your bridge to the shore. Is that kind of how that would work usually?
Yeah, definitely. We can utilize them, LCUs, or the new ACVs that the Marines have. Each one has their different capabilities, and each one allows you different operations and different operational environments. So, like, we don't use a LCAC if we're getting shot at, right?
Okay.
Because it's on a cushion of air, and
right,
bullets will let air out of that cushion.
Okay.
Right, so different craft for different reasons.
And then the last thing, I know the Navy's big on tradition, and Richard McCool, trying to honor him every way you can. I assume teaching the sailors the history of the name and the boat and the family, and his grandkids are the namesakes of the ribs, right?
Yeah, so we have his great-grandkids.
Oh, great. Okay, thank you.
His granddaughter is, I think, I want to say it's both of his granddaughters, but don't quote me on that piece there. But the two sponsors, one of them has been incredibly involved, Miss Shana McCool. She's been down here a number of times. Her children, Declan and Parker, are the namesakes of our small boats that we have. That is one of the common operations we do here on an amphib. Even our mess line is named Elaine's Eatery for Captain McCool's wife.
Oh, that's great.
So that's the history behind the name of our mess line.
And hey, we're going to just pause right there. We're speaking yesterday to Lieutenant Commander Mark Behnke, and we're going to go to Traffic on the Fives with John Pickens in Pensacola.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Lieutenant Commander Mark Behnke talking about the USS McCool. We have just turned the lights on. The lights are on, so now I can see everything, and I no longer look like as someone said online, the teenage hacker that they brought in to solve the national security crisis in the bunker somewhere with the red lights. The biggest takeaway that I had from that comment was, teenager, yes! Living right, treat you well.
So who's breaking the champagne? Who's going to do the honors?
So the champagne is done when the ship was christened.
Yep. So that's gone, that's all happened.
It has, sir. But it was the two of them. It was Shana and I forget the other lady's name. She's from up in Canada, so we haven't been a little bit of a geolocation difference, but very, very in with the crew, a lot of namesake history. And one of the famous quotes we actually have is our ship's motto is to fight as a unit, not as individuals. And everybody tries to embrace that every day.
I know I said last one, but this is actually kind of my favorite. I met somebody today who you might know. Your dad was on board the boat.
Yeah.
What was it like? What was it like for him? What was it like for you having him on the ship with you?
I love having him on board. My mom and my stepdad, I call him my dad, right? They own a small part of Avalon Landing RV Park up there in Milton. Growing up in this
area. And you went to Navarre High, right?
I did. I went to Navarre High. Growing up here, both sets of my grandparents lived off the back gate of NAS Pensacola. That's how my mom and my father met. So it's really cool to be able to bring this ship home for me. So
I did want to ask you a lot about the coming home element of this.
Yeah.
We were just talking to the captain about choosing Pensacola and kind of how it really chose him in a sense, like once he got to know the people and everything like that. What is that like for you to be able to share a place with so much sentimentality, so much history with this entire crew that you've been working with, training, all that?
I think it's fantastic, right? Not a lot of people in the Navy, believe it or not, get to come to Pensacola because you're looking at mainly cryptologic, intel technicians, and Airedale rates, so like your ABFs, your ABHs, right? People that work on show them kind of what the city is. The initial kind of broadcast had a few different cities as to where we would be able to go, and kind of offers that were out there. And Pensacola just was incredibly welcoming to the captain. I got here and there were still kind of the last few weeks worth of decision. And it really wasn't a decision at that point because the Navy League, the commissioning committee, the city itself, the base itself, everybody just kind of opened up their arms. So it was fantastic because that's kind of what I expected, based on what I know of the people that I grew up around. So it was really cool to be able to see that.
And this will be the first shore leave since you guys left Mississippi, right?
Yes, it will be. Yeah. So, we're going to have some good liberty here. We have had some, amazing, donations and opportunities brought through the Navy League or from local entities, Seville Quarter, Escambia County Sheriff's, Cordova Alley, Cordova Lanes, the Bowling Center, right there, Pensacola Shooting Range, the Blue Wahoos, a lot of people just kind of helping out the members of the ship, which is fantastic for the junior sailors that don't necessarily know which way to go when they get there.
Lots of raw material for MWR to work with.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All kinds of.
And they've been working some long hours, right? Like, the sailors preparing for this.
Oh, yeah.
This will be a needed break, possibly. Yeah,
definitely. We get underway, and especially with a brand-new crew, there's watch standards standing port and starboard, which means they're on or they're off at any given time with only that rotation. There's watch standards in three-section or four-section. There's a lot of people that don't necessarily get a ton of sleep, but they're full of dedication and they're full of drive.
And massive thank you personally for you to take so much time to make it possible for us to do the radio broadcast. So,
yes, sir.
Absolutely. I can't imagine that was anything but driving you crazy, but easy day, right?
There's a lot of things that drive me crazy, sir. You didn't make that list.
They are so helpful and so nice. Anyway, that was Lieutenant Commander Mark Benke. We talked with him yesterday. We had talked with him a bunch during the tour as well. Great source of information. Also, he's got the best suite. He's got a lot of space in his area. And anyway, it's just, you know, the folks here have been fantastic on board the Richard McCool. So, yeah, we are underway. We are broadcasting live from the Gulf of Mexico through satellite internet. I mean, it's kind of an amazing thing that this is happening right now. 437-1620, if you have questions you want to ask me. No, I don't know what time we're arriving. No, I can't tell you where we are. And even if I knew, I wouldn't be able to tell you because, you know, operational security, you just don't talk about that kind of stuff. Thank you for asking. Also, apparently the tours are all sold out. I'm so sorry. If you wanted to get a tour, you know, too late, unfortunately. 437-1620. If you do have questions, feel free to text me. Ask me your questions. More on this in just a minute. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
There's still no accidents to let you know about, but we're seeing some delays right now. If you're heading into East Milton from Milton, you're seeing some delays right there near East Milton Elementary. So just be careful with that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So you're getting ready to do a home improvement project, and you're just sure that you know how to do it and the best way to do it and the most efficient, best results, right? Okay, great. But one of my old bosses always had an expression. He said, Andrew, there's only two times I want you to come ask me for advice. I want you to come ask me for advice when you're not sure what to do and when you are. Which is his way of saying always ask. And the reason I mention this is because Pensacola Hardware is that expert resource. They have been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851. They know. It's in the blood. It's institutional knowledge. And so if you go there and ask them, they're not going to be like, huh, I never heard about that before. Let me see if anybody here understands. They will have seen it. And they will know how to give you advice and then obviously help you buy the right tool for the right job so that you get the right result and you wind up happy in the end. That's the idea. Pensacola Hardware, helping people in this area since 1851, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
More than just a location, the Port of Pensacola is a thriving economic engine and a strategic gateway fueling growth and prosperity across Northwest Florida. Since 1754, it's become the cornerstone of the region's economic vitality, with over 20 dynamic businesses calling it home, including major players like Cemex Materials, General Electric Verona's Wind Energy, Offshore Inland Marine, Pete Stevedore, and the world-renowned American Magic Sailing Team. Discover the possibilities at portofpensacola.com.
Hi neighbors, this is Colton Wright, Santa Rosa County Commissioner for District 5. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for allowing me to serve you for the past 4 years. Thank you for having faith in me and showing your support during this primary election. I'll continue to use common sense and build strong relationships to ensure that we have a professional and productive board. Let's move forward. The future is bright for Santa Rosa County.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer whenever I want?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. 94% of Sleep Number smart sleepers report better sleep. And now, during our biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Plus, free home delivery on select smart beds when you add any base. Ends Labor Day. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
Good morning, Andrew McKay for the Pensacola Morning News on board the USS McCool as we are underway in the Gulf of Mexico. That's right. You're listening to a radio broadcast that originates on board a United States naval warship heading to commissioning in Pensacola. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, over 40 people have now been indicted in a multi-state drug trafficking operation that's being called the largest pharmacy burglary case in DEA history. Investigators say that ring was targeting rural pharmacies, stealing opioid prescriptions from local pharmacies, then reselling them on the streets, most of the time in Texas. The group has reportedly been linked now to 200 different pharmacy burglaries in 31 states. Police in Arizona say there were no signs of foul play after a corporate employee was found dead at her job at Wells Fargo this week. Police in Tempe, Arizona say Denise Prudhomme clocked into work at her corporate office last Friday, never clocked out. Security finally found her body on Tuesday.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. We'll continue to bring you more information from the ship as here on the USS McCool in the Gulf of Mexico heading over to Pensacola. We will have your tenant commands, meet your tenant commands with Captain Scott Janik, call sign Mongo.
Listen on air at 92.3.